it fits perfectly sideways. Well, it works well enough. My phone sits in my steering wheel sideways pretty well. Stays in there pretty good. And it's a reasonably nice setup here. I still need to find a good way to send at least my audio output to the radio in this car. This is a car, let me tell you, this truck is interesting. It has 12 volt power in the armrest, and you can put, and it's made so that it's made for putting a cell phone in it. I'm real lucky that it fits both of the phones, my work phone and my regular phone pretty good. If you want to stick it in there, of course, it's kind of like, well, I've got two charging things, but I want to leave one out because I need to use it. You know, I need to move it around. Sometimes I need to put it on the laptop. Sometimes I need to put it on the other phone. All kinds of possibilities here. Speed was going to 60. I must be going through a mule shoe. I would normally turn off here onto the Kakawani Road. It goes from Mule Shoe to Portales. But I'm actually going to go home tonight because there's no place to, because there's no water at Oasis State Park. But I've been thinking of a lot of options. Like, the first thing is that I don't need a cot tent anymore because I've got a shell on my truck. And I can put a pad back there. Heck, I can get my old memory foam mattress out of the boat, stick it in the back of here, and I've got a much more comfortable place to sleep, man. Cool. So I'm just finding more happiness tied to owning this truck. Long before I ever considered it, it wasn't like, well, I need to get a truck because I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. This truck kind of popped up on, it was kind of a bait and switch. And, but as soon as I said I wanted a manual transmission, he said, this is what you want right here. And it's like, oh, yeah? You know, how do you say it? And it was this truck with a shell on it. This is a Frontier, a Nissan Frontier, 2004. Only had 139,000 miles on it for being that old. It's been working great. I originally had some issues with the fact that I was a little concerned with the gas gauge and how it was behaving. For being a tank that holds 15 gallons, I have yet to put more than 8 gallons in it. I mean, it doesn't bother me deeply. The thing still, you know, the gas gauge is gitchy. Like before, it was reading under half a tank. Now that I've gone another 50 miles, it's now reading just slightly over half a tank. So, I don't know what that's supposed to do. There is a nice little cigarette lighter outlet up here on the actual dash. It would have been really nice to be able to stick a Bluetooth, which I have. Well, it's Sam. It was one that Sam had used for a while. Well, to be honest, it's Sam's. I just need to let Sam have that one. This car drives really good. The air conditioning actually works. That's nice. I have to constantly turn on the recirculated air thing to block out the smell of stockyards and dairies here, so that's fun. I'm on my way back to the temple, incidentally, and it's 9:18 at night. Oh, for all the ability to connect cell phones, and they had gone to great lengths to make that happen. There's no Bluetooth radio, and it's only virtue is it's got a CD player, which is pointless for me. I never really got big into CDs. Well, no, I can't say that. There were some good CDs that I got, kind of inherited to me. When I traded Brenna for a Ford Explorer, I gave her $500. She didn't need this vehicle, but she could use the money. So I had just sold off my little Honda Civic my brother Joe had been working on, and he had got the Civic working. It was good as a standard. My son couldn't drive the standard, Caleb. And so he traded me for the other car that we had brought, which was my mother's old car that she had left behind. And there was a lot of horse trading going on. And as part of this Ford Explorer, the previous owner had just kind of abandoned it and given it to Brenna. And it was really rusted bad. It was already starting to have interesting problems. And, but yeah, I got some CDs out of that deal. I don't know what happened to those CDs. It doesn't matter. We loaded them on the, it was one of the sad things for my wife. She, her car was a Jeep Patriot that I was still using up until I bought this car, until I bought this truck. And it had a really nice radio that had a hard drive in it. And you could burn, well no, you could rip CDs and put it in the radio. So that radio had a whole bunch of CDs on it. Different songs, stuff like that. Lisa liked that radio. That was her speed. She loved it. And she got a new car, a Hyundai Tucson. It had all this, gitchy stuff that it could connect in all kinds of interesting ways to your cell phone. Bluetooth and Android, oh, it's called Android Air. Anyway, but she's never figured out how to make her own phone connect to it and put, I really didn't want to spend the money to buy all these songs that she might like on like Apple or whatever, Google Play, Google Music, I don't know what it is. Anyway, and so wait until I get in the car and then we can listen to different things that way, but I don't do music. I just do podcasts, which I think it makes me crazy. Anyway, Palmer County, county seat is Farwell, I think. So we're pretty close to Farwell, Texas. Texaco, New Mexico, across the state line. And I turned just on the other side of the Texaco school and start heading north, and that's how I get to my place. See, now the gas tank says that I've got 3/4 of a tank. See, you can't trust what you see from this system. Usually once you fill up, see now it just dropped down to just about a half. So it's got this gitchy thing. The tachometer has the same issue in that it just, it's sometimes it tells you how fast the engine's running. Other times it'll say it's zero, and it's like nothing changed. So it's got its little problems. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they came back and they said, you know what? We don't want to mess with this car. Just sell it. And so, somebody like me who says, I don't care. I says, I don't mind filling the gas up regularly. I'm not a guy that rides the E. I don't need to know what the RPMs are. I already know I'm kind of a guy that doesn't race the car much. I always did pretty good with with a manual transmission. Anyway, so this is my big road trip every week. On Tuesdays, I leave work and go to the temple, and I usually go back and stay the night at Oasis State Park. Now I don't even have to do that. There's free RV parking in Mule Shoe. But, I don't know, I kind of like, I was always quite happy with my rig on the boat, which was that memory foam mattress and a pillow and any one of a number of sleeping bag covers, which I don't even really need to use during most of the summertime. So now might be a pretty good time to go ahead and just get rid of this sailboat, if I can. The place that I sold off Sandy, my Mitsubishi Mirage, that had served me so well for, golly, how long? Oh, a little over 2 years of heavy commuting. And it did a good job for me. I was happy with the car. But then I hadn't taken good care of the transmission. And so it was like, well, okay, fine, whatever. But certainly informed the fact that I wanted a manual transmission. It's hard to get now. Thus, my having in 2025 a 2004 vehicle, 21-year-old vehicle. This is the third truck that I've owned in my life. The first one was the tank, the old 61 Ford F-100. Could not be killed. It was the most reliable vehicle I think I've ever had. I sold some guy for $450. I think I paid a friend of ours that was leaving the military. $50. So it was a good, did a good job. I don't even want to talk about how many loads of manure I shoveled into the back of that thing, hauled to our garden behind our house in Clovis, and dumped. I don't remember that being a particularly good guard. Anyway, so. The second one was the Sponge. It was a car that a friend said, yeah, you should buy that car. You should buy that truck. It was a Ford, whatever Ford's little truck is. I think it is actually the same basic size as this one. This boat, all these trucks were a long, long time ago. And that one didn't last about 1,000 miles. It was burning oil bad. I never put enough oil in it, and it eventually just burned out. And I basically just sold it to, I was on a trip to Amarillo to a conference. No, to a training, yeah. Draftsmanship training. Anyway. But I saw $50 to somebody, and I think it was Will Dorado, I don't think. It was a little further on. But anyway, I died in front of this convenience store. The guy working at the convenience store said, I'll buy it. And I said, yeah, great. I said, I'll, you know, he gave me $50, and I said, I'll mail you the title. Worked out pretty good. Oh, I'm already in, here's my turn. Going to Pleasant Hill, which is really not much of a place anymore. Anyway. All right, now I'm on the road that I'm going to take all the way until it ends. By the park, there's a little bit of a lake. I forgot that Texaco has a lake, or either that or one of their water towers sprung a leak. And then it goes right past, I think this is the high school, Texaco High School. And a couple of dairies out here, and then just keep on going until you run into the Grady Highway. And then you go to Grady. How about that for a deal? Make sure I'm in steps. Okay. We're cruising. The gas gauge still says we got half a tank. That should get us to 2 can carry. If all fails, I got two gallons in the back end of the truck, the bed. And I should be able to get into 2 can carry that way. Anyway, so yeah. Some adventures of former trucks. Lisa does not participate with any of my trucks. She's never really liked them. She barely tolerates most of my vehicles. But they tend to get kind of messy because a lot of them I live out of. The truck, Not so much so, although I got plenty of stuff now. I've got kind of it's one of those extended cab things. It doesn't have a second row of seats. It isn't like, you know, this was back something that was probably more prevalent in the 80s and the 90s. There's a little bitty jump seat back here for somebody either really skinny or really little that you can put, you know, and it's just good for putting a few things that you just don't want to put in the back end because the back end's kind of dirty. When I originally got this thing, I thought it wasn't using much fuel. And I was concerned because, you know, this is, wasn't letting me put much fuel in the tank. So I removed, I forget what you call it. It's called the EVAP system. and there is a canister in the back that holds charcoal. And it's part of this evap system. It's so that you don't have a lot of gas fumes. In a lot of states, you have to get a an inspection for your car, an emissions inspection, and that's what that evap system is there for. My part of Mexico, at least, there is no emissions testing. Nothing weird like that. And I took out the EVAP canister. The car can run just fine without it. They all say, oh, you'll regret it later. So I might actually replace it. If it was being the problem, I at least made it now so that it's not a problem anymore. And since I already pulled it out, I might as well just get a new EVAP canister put back in place. And the biggest thing is, you know, it's supposed to say, oh, your car is designed to run with that. You go, okay, fine, whatever. And the biggest thing is to turn off the check engine light. Because right now it just says, hey, guess what? You don't have a, you know, you've got an EVAP system problem. You go, yeah, I took the canister off. I don't know if that made it so that I could put fuel in it. You know? Someday I may break down to find out. Right now, I'm just happy that the thing functions as a real car as opposed to something that has to be babied a bit. See, my fuel tank is back up to 3/4 of a tank. I don't have any idea what that's all supposed to mean. It jumps around all over the place. So I just say I should be able to go this far. I can do a whole daily round trip, along with going into Clovis for lunch or something like that. And, well, you know, last time I did it, it only took about 7 gallons. And it's like, well, that's not bad. The gas prices go down a little bit, so much the better. So that so far has been the adventure of my new truck, which I really like it. It's understated. It doesn't have a lot of gadgets, doodads on it. Anyway. And I'm getting back accustomed to shifting. It's like riding a bicycle. You pick it back up pretty quickly. I got to get a little smoother in first gear. You know, going from a complete stop, that's always the trickiest. That's always the trickiest situation, the trickiest gear. Pardon me. Okay, I just crossed over the Pleasant Hill Highway. I think it ends up in either Friona or Bovina. Chances are, at this point, it's probably Bovina, which I think is a little further north. Texas, Bovina, Texas. I always do a recording on this particular road. going between Texaco and Grady. Probably because all this talking helps me stay awake at 9:47 p.m. Usually, I'm, you know, on a usual day, I will have been asleep for a while. Rarely stay up till 10. This particular activity, I usually can't get done with it until 11. And, but I'm finding it's really not that vital for my contract to be at work early. Nobody's killing themselves getting to work early. Why don't we take care of what needs to be done? I was just looking at one. Okay. How is this now? They have a big picture window in their garages. So when you're going by, if they have their house lit up, this guy does, you can see inside the garage, and they had all kinds of toys in there, you know. There was a 4x4-ish, and, you know, you could say, oh, no, this is a, I'm sure that on his taxes, it's a farm expense, that they use that to go out and do whatever. I don't know what it is exactly. Go feed cattle, right? And you're going, they already claim a truck for this. Ride off a couple of horses, too, for all these purposes. And then they give themselves a fun little runabout four by four to screw around with. And you're going, look at all these toys, you know? The modern, I don't know what it is anymore, modern cowboy. I don't know if you should call them that anymore. The modern ranch hand or farm hand is invested with a lot of toys. I am very ascetic. If I don't need it, I don't hang on to it. You know, it's like somebody says, oh, you shouldn't have held on to that Sandy car and, you know, worked on it a bit and tried to make it run again. And you go, I have no interest in working on that car. And I just don't want it around. It's like my whole thing with my sailboat. It's like, you know, I'm not interested in the boat anymore. It doesn't provide any particular usefulness to me. There's a great reason to have it before when I would take it out to someplace and that's where I would sleep at night, is in the boat. And it worked really well. Sadly, my first experience working at Pantex and staying nights at Fritch fell apart because the HOA lost it. No, that's supposed to be for an RV, and I said, you don't consider this boat an RV? No, it's not. It's like, oh, great. And they kind of arranged for me. The previous owner, the one I bought it from, not really to, he did buy it back, although I didn't want all my money back at all. I said, you know, since I used it, and, well, it doesn't matter. It just didn't work out. I couldn't keep the boat there. They insisted on a lot of things happening, like you have to put in a septic tank and stuff like that. And you go, I am not interested on any level to do anything like that. I said, and I don't remember. I said, you know, you guys are pretty interesting in your interpretation of rules. Just because I didn't ever see in their rules that it was that putting a septic tank was required. But they started saying it was. It's like, you know what? This is not even beginning to be. I'm not spending that much money to develop my property, which is exactly what they said I had to do, was to develop it. You go, not doing it. And when the opportunity came to sell it back to this guy, I made sure he profited pretty good off of it because he did do me a favor. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what he did. I bought it for $3,000 and sold it back then for $800. So he's going to make quite a bit of money selling it again. If you can. But yeah, I always avoided HOA type things in the past, and now I had my experience where I could say, no, I have absolutely no interest in getting near an HOA ever again. Absolutely none. So yeah, now the boat sits next to my house. I'm just waiting for some code enforcement person to say, you can't park that there like that. And it's like, oh, great. So I just, you know, and I don't need it. I just should get rid of it. I'm thinking of using it as a mast for my, for amateur radio, but, the sailboat, you kind of want all of the equipment that makes it a sailboat to go with it. So it'll be something that's at least saleable. I did tear up the enclosure for the toilet inside of it because I needed more space to put in you know, that memory foam mattress. I had done it one way for, golly, 3 years. And then I had taken it out and made it so that it was a little more, it had a little more space inside. Anyway, I don't know. It's really inexpensive to park somewhere. It was nigh on to perfect for my acre property out in, out of the craft site, there was a lot of wandering animals out there, a lot of cows that tore things up. Actually, I think people that tore things up. Ooh, this is the Haleen Road. My great-grandfather lived at Haleen, and I think that was technically where kind of our ranch was. It was in kind of, it was around a place that had been designated Holly. Anyway, so past that. Now the road is much less developed, but still paved. Now that I've got this truck and it says, oh, it can tow, and I've got the receiver back there, I can tow it over a Saturday. Just tow it down somewhere and drop it back on my acre where I had it before I tried to set it up for other needs. So I might just haul it back out there. Although I have no reason to go out there anymore. Because I love my wife, I like spending time with her, and she has no interest in that place. Therefore, see how, you know, I've never checked the high beams on this thing. There they are. Kind of like high beams to me. Everything in this car basically works. The evac system might be a little gitchy. I'm not sure, really. This is now Curry Road C. So we're only 2 or 3 miles from the Texas border. A very lightly used road, if used at all. But it's getting some potholes, garbage, so, and I don't think anybody's gonna fix it up at all. Anyway, yeah. So I might just take the boat back down there. Finally put up the mast. There's some more things I may haul out there too. Of course, if you leave it too long, there's every chance that somebody will goof around with it, steal stuff, do all kinds of interesting junk. That's what people do. And I have no interest in really doing what it takes to secure it particularly. So it's tempting. It's also tempting not to take the boat out there, knowing that it'll just get trashed. My old dome that I had out there, it got trashed. It got ripped to shreds. And it's like, so do you think, whoa, okay, whew, here we go. This is Greedy Highway, the road between Hereford and Greedy, Bellevue, and then Broadview are up here. Those guys have put in a lot of wind turbines out here. I'm interested to see how this stuff will ultimately do. There's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of turbulence behind the wind turbine. The big question was, how much did the people who installed them out here, how much did they take that into account? And I don't know. It gets down to, I just don't know. Okay. At least I was reading an article about the whole turbulence issue. And they go, you know, from one of these things, the turbulence caused for it affects wind patterns a lot longer downrange than I think anybody really anticipated. So, although the first line of turbines that head into the prevailing wind do a pretty good job, you know, catch a lot of wind and do things like that. The ones behind it in the path of the turbulence don't produce very well at all. Anyway, so, and of course, the wind doesn't always come from the prevailing direction. And so, if you try to take the prevailing, you know, it just means that these wind turbines are probably a little too variable to be a fantastic source of energy, especially when you do a farm. You know, you have several of them in close proximity to each other, relatively. May not generate as well as one would think. They're trying to find new uses for the blade. I think they have found some things to do. They grind them down and epoxy them for other uses. Although I think at the end of the day, it costs an awful lot to, quote, recycle them that way into practically anything. So, it remains to be seen if that really happens. I mean, trash recycling, household recycling, has ended up becoming a farce. Because they go, no, most people just toss it into the regular stream and just take it to the landfill. So if you're putting a lot of effort into separating things into different receptacles and thinking you're saving the earth or doing something like that, chances are you're not. Even if your city takes some pains to pick them up separately or to sort them separately, at least as far as you can tell, it normally goes into the same dang stream and just gets disposed of exactly the same way as everything else, because it doesn't really end up being terribly useful. Or it's very expensive to try to process separately, and it's just not economical enough. A lot of things go like that, you know. Like the whole discussion around climate change and what you're supposed to do, they're supposed to really help these things. And you go, you know what, at the end of the day, it's probably a lot of brouhaha and wasted effort and money with little real return, if anything, except being able to pat yourself on the back and tell everybody what a wonderful person you are doing these things. To be honest, I'm kind of indifferent to the whole thing. Is the climate changing? Climates change all the time. That's the nature of it. Is it changes. And you go, well, it's man's fault. And you go, maybe a bit. It comes from a normal case of delusions of grandeur as to how much we are causing really huge systemic problems. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't work to stop throwing pollutants into the air. That's not a bad thing to do. So yeah, my wonderful EVAP system, is it a bad thing? No. It's just that when it fails, it almost renders your vehicle worthless. And I paid quite a bit for this vehicle, relatively. Well, I bought it. I tried to dig him down a little bit, but the whole point was I knew he could probably turn around and sell it to somebody else at the price he wanted to sell it at. So it just became kind of a, well, do you really want this car or not? And it's like, okay, well, there it is. He's not desperate to sell. Because I think he felt pretty comfortable that he was going to be able to get the price he was asking. All right. We're just getting out of Broadview. Back up to speed. Going to Grady. On to Raglan. And then down the hill and to Quay and to Cary. Anyway. So, yeah. I love how they I don't know if it's really a shellac or not, but it sure seems like they put shellac on everything. And they did it, you know, they put it all over the engine to make it look pretty. Well, look at how clean and well kept this is. And they're going, well, it probably helps that you put a degreaser on it to get all the bad looking stuff off, and then you put this shiny coat on everything inside the car and outside the car. That gets them another $1,000 or $2,000 for just something that may have cost them $50 to pull together. At the end of the day, I guess I just don't care. This is a difficult vehicle to find. It's got a good record of reliability I say, well, it holds its value. Well, I don't really care about its value. I want to use it. I'm not trying to hang on to it for 30 years. And then sell it off as a classic or something. Because I drive cars into the ground. Anyway, 10:19. Not even agreed yet. I don't know what time it's actually going to be when I get there. I'll let you know. We've got many miles yet to go. The gas tank is reading up. It just bounced. It just bounced again. It was just below half a tank, and then it bounced once. It bounced twice. And now it's reading just under three quarters of a tank. So I don't know what to think of this. I'll find out how much I use. This is pretty much the longest day I put on any vehicle. Just going from home in Tucumcari to Lubbock and back. Like I say, I usually stay at Oasis State Park at night just to save myself a little life. So I'm not just on the road all day long. However, regardless, this is what we got going. Got to slow down a little bit for Greedy. Thank goodness Greedy doesn't have a cop. For a while there, they had a car that they parked. And sometimes they had a dummy in it, sometimes they didn't. And it scared people to slow them down, which is mostly what they wanted these people to do, was just to slow down while going through grading, which I can do. I don't remember if they had a stop sign up here. Anyway, oh, mercy. Okay, there's Grady. Just kind of slow it down a little bit. It says you can carry 49 miles. 65 mile an hour road. I'll get there maybe about 11, a little after. Go straight to bed. Tired. It was a good day. It's always good to go to Temple. But yeah, I do need to clean up Escape. Oop, what did I call that thing? I keep forgetting what I came up with. Whoa, pardon me. Whoa. Driving like an idiot. Oops. Oh. Oops. A rumination. Ah, I finally remembered it. What to call my navigatory works. And I had settled on rumination. The first one is Escape, already written. The second one is Prophecy, already lined out. Of course, Godsend was the first and only novel of any of these. This thing go to sleep on me? Oh, it's hard to get my thumb to get it right. Oh, we're going. Let's go back to the recording. It's still recording. I have considered basically redoing Godsend, the novel, for the working title was going to be Deliverance, but to be honest, I don't know if I really want to go over that territory again. Made a few vague efforts in the past to make the story fit with the actual, the Vigieri works that happened quite a bit later. And I just did a few things and didn't really try to integrate it particularly. I don't know if I ever will. Because there's so much more interesting things to be done. A possible third work, I had always called it a 4 days and after years. It really is about Eladius and Cassandra and their children, which is alluded to in everything around the outlet. But we sure, I really wasn't going to save it for, you know, is it really going to be a productive thing to do? To be honest, when you're wanting to milk kind of a series, it never hurts to keep open the whole thing, you know, the Harry Potter series. Gave birth to magical beasts and stuff like that. From the Wizarding World. Anyway. But apparently it didn't gin up the kind of excitement that they had hoped. Of course, the funny thing is now they're kind of doing the Harry Potter book series again as a series as opposed to a bunch of movies with different people and different things. I don't have a lot of hope in it. The Lemony Snicket books, one movie was made, the one that has John Carey in it, and I don't think it did very well. But then, his name, Neil Patrick, whatever. The old Doogie Howser fella. He decided that he wanted to do the whole series. And he did. Adapted all the books. And I think he did a pretty good job. Although, it was on a streaming service that I don't pay for. Netflix or something like that. I need to look and see if there are DVDs of it. We kind of watched the first season. I don't know how many seasons they ultimately did. Whatever it took to do all the books. There were 13 books. The Jim Carrey movie was a wild adaptation of like the first three or four books. Took a lot of life with it. I think it strayed far enough from the books ultimately that whatever goodwill had come from people who had read the books didn't transfer to the movie particularly, which is why you do those kinds of things. Is everybody who read the books will want to see the movie. And they didn't want to. And the Netflix series seemed like a great past project. I don't know how successful it was, how much money it made. Anyway. Yeah, not even ranking yet. I'm not doing a good job of going at 65. Most standard manual transmission vehicles didn't have cruise control because it was just an invitation for problems, I think. Ooh, so you just have to do the right speed yourself. Anyway, so I get done talking about that. Ooh. I did the calculation if I keep this job up until I'm 62, which is Lisa's plan. I'm going to need to put over 200,000 miles on this car. You're going, I don't think this car is going to make it 200,000 miles. So it's just sad because it's a nice truck and I don't want to just destroy it by putting so many miles on it. Which I don't know if that gives me enough incentive to actually work on writing projects and get that stuff done. Like I said, prophecy, I actually have pretty much lined out we have to understand how the development happened. My great writing year, 1998, when I was working on the boat, was very prolific, and that's where came God Sent, which is the novelized story of Julia's ascension to power. Pardon me. In about 2012, well, no, it was before 2012 for sure. I had already pretty much conceptualized the combination of, or mostly prophecy. Prophecy was actually planned for first. And then I wrote, Escape, finished it, published, it's gone, about, it was the prequel to Escape, to Prophecy. Prophecy was the central story, and they are written differently. The first one was kind of cute and kind of funny. The second one, Prophecy, is dark. Although we may put in some happy bits just to keep people from running away screaming about how terrible things get when you put too much faith in with too much faith in riders. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm not sure that I'm making any sense anymore. Darn it. I apologize. I should probably stop before it gets too bad. I can see the lights of Raglan before me, the Raglan maintenance yard, the Department of Transportation. It's 10:42. That's going to be a bit after 11 when I get home. So anyway, okay, we'll probably stop here. Just rambling on about a lot of things. So yeah, I would finally be finishing up the central story. That's always been kind of outlined. I finally broke it down into good pieces and interspersed it with the things I usually intersperse with to make, to break it up from being some kind of weird novel into actually being something a little more purposeful, which the whole Navigiri rumination is supposed to be. Oh, this thing's starting to hurt my ears, so I need to let this go. Talk to you later.